College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the Bengals, I don't want to say have ruined chances because there's a lot of time till the season, but certainly mismanaged it. And you have a guy that has been an absolute star on the field. He's an unbelievable representative off the field. And if Trey Hendrickson's a Bengal next year, they're one of those very small groups of teams that you sit there and say, yeah, they can win the Super Bowl. If he's not, because you're not going to replace him in the draft this year, and I know they drafted Shamar Stewart, I just don't see them as legit contenders.
Dan Orlovsky of ESPN on Bengals edge rusher Trey Hendrickson. Hendrickson spoke today, expressing some frustration over his not having a new contract. According to PFF, third in the league in sacks last 4 years. I mean, you wouldn't have to be PFF to be able to count that. Anybody could count that.
Yeah.
Second in pressure rate. There's a PFF special right there, right, pressure rate.
Right. Yeah, I think he led the league in sacks last year.
Did he? You and I could, you know, watch a play and one of us could say that counts as a pressure and the other maybe wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a rule for what constitutes pressure.
Right.
We all feel pressure differently.
Real quick, I hate to be like a prisoner of the moment or like the last thing that happened when we were watching one of these contract standoffs between a player and a team unfold. They often do get settled. As acrimonious as it sounds at a given time. Miles Garrett Miles Garrett made the rounds at the Super Bowl, used his own GM's words against him in laying out, like, I want to get out of here. I don't want to go from Cleveland to Canton. I want to go to the Super Bowl and stuff like that. It sounded like that. There's no way they're going to find their way to common ground. And then one Sunday morning they did. And that was the end of that. And so now I'm watching this thing with the Bengals. It's been going on for a few weeks here. And I mostly am just like, yeah, they'll just settle it because of Garrett. Like, this has not sounded as acrimonious as the Garrett thing. But now today, the spectacle of him in street clothes while his teammates are practicing behind him and he's talking for almost 25 minutes about all this stuff. Again, bridges aren't burned. There's time, but man, it just does not sound like a very good situation. But despite that, because Garrett got settled, I'm inclined to go, yeah, they'll probably figure it out because he's got to matter a lot. They're in a Super Bowl window. They're paying everybody, right? I mean, they kept their receivers. They got that straight. Why not this guy? I don't know if at his age, I'd want my team necessarily to sign up for like a lot more new money that's going to hurt me in a couple of years when he's no longer in his prime. But you're trying to win the Super Bowl, and he matters a lot. Nobody else on that team even approached double-digit sacks, and he had 17 and a half.
17 and a half. Kevin is with us. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. How are we?
Good. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Good. Listen, the real question with the end of the stadium coming up, what memorabilia will be available for sale after it closes? I would love to get some unique pieces from there, but I just want your guys' opinion.
What do you mean, like signage, seats?
Well, yeah, you have so like I have a piece of turf from the last time they sold turf. Mm-hmm. I have a chair from the first when they replaced all the chairs. Game signage. I mean, like, are they going to sell the names off the Wall of Fame? Are they going to, how about the urinal from the bathroom that everybody uses?
Used as a urinal? I don't know. I mean, it's not something I thought of. I wonder how when they were replacing seats, they had to obviously remove seats. So then you've got seats intact. I wonder how. Just seats in general. is it easier to just blow the whole thing up, seats included, and just that's it's rubble? Or is it worth, like, are the seats worth enough to have workers, because I don't think there's any way to do this other than having somebody with like a socket wrench or a power tool of some kind loosening bolts.
Too soon.
And, sorry. Loosening the bolts and, you know, removing the seats one at a time. That could be really expensive to do. I don't know if it's offset by the benefit of selling them to people who would want to buy them. Maybe you could do that with a certain number, and that increases demand, and then you're going to get a premium price for, if we only have 1,000 of these seats to sell that we bothered to take out, maybe 1,000 of, you know, 1,000 of the blue seats, 1,000 of the red seats, and we, I don't know. I just think it would be cumbersome to remove 71,000 seats from where they are currently fixed there. And so I kind of doubt that that would happen on that level, but...
Are we still benches up top anyway?
I haven't been up top in so long, I don't even know.
I think so.
So, yeah, I would think some of that will be available, but I wouldn't expect it to be, you know, the whole stadium allotment.
I don't know. It sounds like something where you'd have to know somebody, right? Like, that could be this kind of thing, memorabilia, jerseys or something. Like, if you know somebody, you probably could get what you want. But otherwise, maybe not. I don't know. I'm sure a lot of fans would be like, let me go in there and undo the seat, yeah, and I'll just take it.
I want my seat. Like,
absolutely not.
I want my seat, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know.
I don't remember. I mean, I've been on the radio while it was happening, and I know people have. I've seen, I don't know that I've ever seen any gold seats in somewhere from the odd, but I know I've seen oranges and blues. I don't think I've even seen any reds that I can remember. I'm not saying they're not out there. I'm just saying my experience. You know, I've seen oranges, I've seen blues, but I don't know. Again, did they remove 16,000 seats from the odd and sell them, or make them available, or they were stolen from a dump somewhere? I don't know how that happened, but I doubt that every seat in there was taken out and restored, you know, saved for posterity.
Is there anything you'd want?
If I had been sitting in a seat for 10 years or 50 years, I'd be interested in the seat, like the specific, at least the number. You know, I don't know if it make that much of a difference if it's row 10 or row 9, but if I sat in seat number 22 for 20 years,
okay,
I'd like a seat with 22 on it, maybe. That's the most, like, I don't really care about the restrooms. I suppose there are certain, I mean, if you could get a Jack Kemp from the Wall of Fame, you know, that would be, might be pretty cool too.
I can't believe they would hawk the names on the wall.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hall of Fame. Just move them. I don't know what they're going to do with the new plan. They could make it look...
Right.
I mean, it does look like, and maybe it should look like, they just... Somebody new, throw them up there, like fit it in. Like there's right. No rhyme or reason to the, unless, you know, they might be chronological, but it just feels like the Wall of Fame names are just kind of like almost random by how they're ordered. Yeah, you wouldn't.
I don't think
they're individual letters. Like you wouldn't sell names of the people.
What do you got there? I got a K.
I got a K from Kemp.
Is it, how do you know? Is it Kelly or Kemp?
Kelsu.
Right.
Actually Kelsu.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. That seems like that wouldn't happen. All these are questions that are coming down the road. I mean,
yep.
What happens to the stuff? I think I'd want a pylon, if anything, from the stadium. I think one of those end zone pylons would be cool.
With a camera in it?
With a camera in it. And then I'd just kick it, it would just pop right back up. That's what I want. I want a pylon. And I do know people. Maybe I'll end up with a pylon.
Right.
No, I never asked for a favor over there.
Yeah.
What do I want here? So week one, The Friday night is not official, but everybody's on the same page. Kansas City at the LA Chargers, or versus the LA Chargers from Brazil. And the report is, and I think this is official, that YouTube will stream it for free. That's what's going to happen for that game. It'll be on YouTube for free. Get you over to YouTube. Pitch Sunday Ticket at you constantly. Maybe leave it right there on the screen, the link, the QR code for Sunday Ticket, the whole game, something like that. But that's okay. At least you don't have to buy it. Next year you will.
Right. Yeah. And I think, you know, I was sort of, curious. The Netflix thing, there, because they had, what did they have? The week before the NFL games on Christmas Day, there was Tyson, Jake Paul or something. Was there some sort of boxing exhibition that was streaming that was a disaster? Like people,
the
feed was just crashing out all over the place. And like, oh God, here comes NFL games on Christmas Day. And I mean, I can't speak for everybody. In my house, it was one of the prettiest pictures I've ever seen for a football game. It was amazing. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of, oh, YouTube, their servers are going to crash because so many people are going to be watching. I don't know. Netflix got through it, and it looked great.
Which game was that? Chiefs Steelers?
The Chiefs Steelers, the first game of the day, was just, it looked tremendous. So I'd be optimistic YouTube will be able to pull it off without you getting like glitched to hell here.
Glitched to hell. Yeah. We don't want that.
No, not in 2025.
No, let's get past that. What is the Bills' best road game? Again, I embarked on a schedule here, but it's not going to work.
What's the problem now?
No matter what I do from here, I'm going to have three home games in a row.
Mm.
And there will never be three home. I shouldn't say never. It's probably happened, but I would not want to predict three game homestands or road trips. The fact that there's that extra home game, when you just try to slot these in, you got to make sure to account for that.
Yeah,
just do them sort of haphazardly. Yeah.
They did have a three game road trip last year.
Did they?
Baltimore, Houston, New York. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. Maybe I should just keep going.
Don't give up.
I do have three road games in a row with the bye week in the middle. Nobody cares. Doesn't matter. I'm just guessing at it. 803-0550. Last year at the stadium, how should the home schedule end? What would you want to do there? Anything you might be hoping for? What I'm hoping for is any sort of information on what it will actually be. That's what I'm hoping for, but I think I'm up against the odds here. That doesn't look good for me. Lines are open for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.